Take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 12, if you will. Romans chapter 12. We've been looking at the one another's here the last couple of weeks. We started out Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Members one of another was the initial study. Then we moved over to the 15th chapter. And the 7th verse, and we talked last week about wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. The idea of receiving or accepting one another. And tonight we'll be back in the 12th chapter again for the 3rd in the series. And that comes out of verse 10, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And so here we have that, being kindly affectioned one to another and honoring one another. The first thing that I want to say about that is the idea of one another. When we're talking about one another here, we're talking about a multiplication process, okay? So one another is me to here, and him to there, and him to here. Not necessarily me to each one or you to each one, but a connector that brings us all together in a network, if you will. So that there's no member, no one that we receive or accept that is outside the network. So that we're all in the network, but we may not be directly working or having that one another at that precise moment, okay? But we're connected all the way around. That's what members of one another, receiving one another, accepting one another is all about. Now, in this particular passage here, you've got a particular word. I don't know how many translations we have in the room here tonight. But if we have more than one, then there's going to be more than one way that this is said in this verse. If you take a look at ESV or even the NIV, those two are different in how they treat the first part of this verse. And KJV always is different than any of them that is out there with the way that it treats certain things. But there is a word that is in this verse here, and it is kindly affectioned, and different ones have devoted in there. I don't remember all the rest of them that have different words that are substituted or placed in this particular thing. But this kindly affectioned here only appears once in the Word of God, this particular Greek word. And it is a Greek word that is in the list of words that we would say love to, okay? And I know that all of you probably have gone through the studies on love and the different words that are used for love in the Word of God. And this one, a unique one, I think is really cool, especially when we come down to figuring out what it really means here when we're talking about one another here. So we all know what agape is, yes? All know agape being the God kind of love, okay? It's the love that's talked about in John 3:16, where God so loved the world. He agaped the world. For God so agaped the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The God kind of love. It's the love that comes to us first and we return to him in like kind when we become a believer. This is the kind of love that we are capable of when the Spirit of God takes up residence in our lives. Some of us don't show it like we should, but this is the kind that we're capable of because God has empowered us to love with the kind of love that he has. So this agape love is one of those that is really cool, and any time that you've done a study and come to that, it just kind of blossoms and opens up in you as far as that. This is also the kind of love that's talked about where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ agaped the church. Okay? Same Same deal right there, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We can't love like that until his Spirit lives in us. That's what enables us. It makes us, empowers us to love as we ought to love. The next one that we know of in the love category is the word phileo. Now, when I'm pronouncing these, I'm not pronouncing them Greek. I'm pronouncing them homo sapien, if you will. Okay, so don't take somebody to task over the way I'm pronouncing Greek words here tonight. But phileo is the next of those, and we know that being what is the connotation for this one? Brotherly love, friendship, but a brotherly type of love. We have a city in these United States where a lot of controversy has taken place over the last few weeks here, by the name of Philadelphia. Delphi meaning city, phileo meaning brotherly. So it's the city of brotherly love that is there. Love that is that everyone's capable of. Okay, this is a love that every man is capable of having. Love for one another. Love as a brother on this planet. I've heard that term so many times where different ones, hey, you know, talk, address another one, hey, brother. And they ain't talking about as if somebody in the faith, you know, my brother and my sister out here or whatever else. And so this is that friendship, brotherly love, unity in the human condition, if you will, a kind of love. If you want to get an example of that, you can go over to Psalm 133 and verse 1, and that'll give you a good picture of what brotherly love is all about in that particular setting. Unity. And then there is another one that we've talked about, we talk about when we talk about love, and that is eros. Okay? And so the eros is the erotic kind of love, the sensual portion, part of love there. And it can be done right, or it can be done wrong. Done right within the bounds of a of holy matrimony, it is a good thing. Anything outside of that is a bad thing. Okay? So it can be done right, or it can be done wrong. It's the erotic portion of the love word. And then there's another one that is used as well, and this one is storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, with one little accent marks on it. Storge is the fourth way that Scripture talks about love. And storge love, Charlotte hit on during part of her testimony here just a little bit ago. Loving someone like a mother loves them. And this is a mother kind of a love, a father kind of a love. Okay, we have all heard the term a face that only a mother could love, and the reason that that is given is because obviously that mamas and daddies overlook a whole bunch of stuff. They throw out love and don't expect it to have to come back. Now at some point you'd really like it to come back in some way or form, you know, but it's something that just it's in you, it's there. And this storge love is an inside powerful love for another. We can get the picture of this storge kind of love as we've talked maybe the last couple of weeks in sermons and such. And I've pointed out the idea of Psalm 91. Oh, maybe that was at a different setting. But anyway, Psalm 91 verse 2-3 down through there where it talks about the Lord being a hen and pulling us to him as a chick to his breast with that. That's a storge kind of love that is being talked about there. A maternal, paternal kind of love with that. So what we have here in this particular admonishment here is we have only one occurrence, kindly affectioned, and it is said Greek-wise, philo, storge. Okay, this is philostorge kind of love here. And in its context with this, it's talking about phileo, sandwiching, storge. So you have a love of a mother towards a child, a father towards a child, that is bracketed by brotherly love, okay? And that's kind of, I think, pretty descriptive of what we're being called to as parts of members one of another. And when we receive and accept one another, we're called to love a face that even that only a mother could love, and bracket that with brotherly love and kindness and unity in that. And so I think this is a really unique and really cool one another that we have here, that that if we really looked at that, would be very, very seldom lived up to. Pretty seldom lived up to, and it ought to be lived up to as a matter of regular course of events with all of that. There are problems with a command that we would have like that. First of all, I can think of folks that have fear of rejection. You know, if you're afraid, to put that kind of a love out there risks the possibility that somebody's not going to accept that kind of love from you. If you give unconditional love bracketed with brotherly love and kindness and unity and just, you know, open-faced, basically, that's open-faced affection for someone else, then you run the risk of that person not returning your affection, not returning what you put out there. So that's one problem with it. Another problem that we have in our world today with being kindly affectionate toward one another is that we have a society that has poor familial relations. We are plagued with poor familial relations in our culture and in our society today. We have parents that were absent, parents that were neglectful, parents that were abusive, parents that did not display proper types of affection and such as that, and so we're plagued with that as a culture, especially since families are being torn up, just as a regular course of events. So poor relations is another problem that we have with all of that, which leads, when you have poor relations like that, that leads to folks becoming victims. Folks becoming victims rather than being overcomers in this life. And if you have a victim mentality, I can assure you it's going to be very difficult for you to be kindly affectionate towards someone else, because you're expecting everyone to be kindly affectionate towards you and bend towards your way and bend towards what your needs may be. And if you're not willing to give, then it's going to be very difficult for you to live up to this task that God has laid out for us here, to be kindly affectionate one to another. Another problem with this is that we have a lot of angry and resentful people, just angry in general, and resenting that they're not in this life. And so when you're angry and resentful, then that makes you a low candidate to be a kindly affectioned individual. Another problem that we have is that we spend our time thinking about us rather than thinking about other people. We spend our time thinking about how we're going to get ahead and how we're going to make this work and how this is going to make my family better or this is going to do whatever, instead of thinking about the other individual and having some type of empathy with other people. Walking a mile in someone else's moccasins is quite unheard of in our day and age. So those are some of the problems to the command that we have. So what I want to do also is to take a look at the second part of this, where it says that we're to honor one another. So this is the kind of love we're supposed to display, and that kind of love, it says, is an honoring one of another, okay? That we honor each other when we go about love in this particular fashion. And so honor there simply means to treat as valuable or to esteem, hold in high esteem, or esteem as precious, which is not a not a new definition. Everybody would come to that conclusion on your own, that this would be what honor is talking about here. And so how do we honor one another? How are we kindly affectioned and that becomes an honor to one another? Well, there's three or four things, and you can jot them down if you wanted to, but number one, in this matter of honoring one another, is respect. And respect is something that our culture has moved on from. I mean, I'm not getting at y'all as Christians. I'm not getting at y'all as a church. But I'm telling you, in our culture, the culture that we're living in, is respect is very hard to find. It is just missing from our lives today. The first cousin to respect is trust, and both of those are absent, where everybody looks at everybody and wants to know what their motive is, and we're afraid to take anything at face value anymore because we think that somebody's, you know, really out to get something or whatever. And trust is like, you know, we want to hold everybody off, and, you know, we want to look at the angles, and what are the angles that are being looked at with this thing. So those two kind of go together, respect and trust. They're, I mean, real close, kissing cousins is what those two are. And so what this is telling us is that respect is to be given before it's earned. Okay? Now, this is a big concept that we have here, that respect is to be given in all cases. You respect in all cases. Respect is not something that has to be earned from us in this body. Okay? We have a lot of that where people want people to measure up to something before they'll give them respect, before they'll give them trust, that they have to meet this standard of something before respect can be given to them. And the Bible says no. You give them respect right off the bat. Give them respect right out of the gate. Okay? Respect is not something that you have to earn. It is certainly something you can lose. Okay? It is certainly, and trust is something you can certainly lose. But in God's economy, it is not something that must be earned. We start off with respect, and if it is lost at some point, then that's a whole different thing. But we are to respect one another right out of the gate. Give that respect and give that trust initially, right straight up. It's a starting place. It's not the destination that we come to. I mean, really, if you think about it for just a minute, and you're expecting someone to earn your trust, what you've done is you've set yourself up as a standard of some kind. You've set yourself up as the mark to attain to. And who died and made you king with that? I mean, really. If you expect somebody to have to rise to a level, what's the level? Well, I guarantee it's about where you are somewhere, okay? Or where you think you are in that. And if they don't measure up somewhere about where you stand in that, then they're substandard, they're subpar. And they are not worthy of your respect because they don't measure up to your ideal. Come on, King. Come on, King. Sit on the throne, all right? And make your judgments about other folks. And God says, no, no. I want you to love as a mama loves her baby, surrounded by brotherly love, connecting to one another, which means that you have to honor each other. You have to start with honoring one another. Respect right out of the gate. Don't make them earn it. Don't make them come up to your mark or your standard. You give them respect. And when you give somebody respect, guess what happens? I tell you what, they sense it. And when you don't, they sense it. When you're untrusting, when you're wary, even with your conversation and the questions that you ask when you're around folks, and the parts of conversation you allow people to get into with you, sometimes you dismiss You can be dismissive of somebody you don't respect. Dismiss them, not listen to them, just kind of put them off with things. And people sense it. And this is not who we are but as a body, right? If we're going to be a body that is something that the world looks at and says, I want some of that, then we're going to have to be better. And the better part of that says that we are connected, members one of another. We have to accept each other. Listen to me, Christ died to receive you. He died to receive you. And how dare we put up some kind of wall between us and another brother that says that you have to do something for me to receive you or accept you. Or you have to bring your game up a notch in order for me to respect you in some way. Now, yeah, we can have that loss of respect thing, but we have to start somewhere. And this place that we have to start is by giving that respect. That's the default that we're supposed to have, respect and default, respect and trust for each other. Second thing in how to honor is that we need to recognize and affirm the gifts and talents of the people around us. Recognize and affirm the gifts and talents of the people around us. Tonight, already in this small gathering, that's why I love this small gathering. Tonight, during this small gathering, there have been praises given to each other in this room. Encouragement that has been given to each individuals in this room that have affirmed and praised the talents, the gifts, the works that different ones in this room have done. And folks, that has to become the norm, to affirm those things. Listen, affirming talents and gifts is not just for people that stand up on a platform. It is especially not for just for people up on the platform, because they get plenty of it. I get plenty of people telling me that they appreciate my gifts, that they appreciate my talent with that. But what needs to happen is take that same statement and begin to look at each other in the pew down the way from you. And what are their gifts and what are their talents and what is praiseworthy and what is noteworthy about my neighbor here? And lift that up. And if we begin to lift that up out here in the seats rather than just a select few on the platform, then what happens is that people enjoy coming and want to be a part of that and are desirous of that. And guess what might happen? Folks might begin to notice other folks' gifts and talents and abilities as well and begin to honor one another, begin to respect one another. And man, it means something when you get into a place, into a room where everybody's respecting each other and everybody's trusting each other rather than everybody thinking that somebody's out to get something or out to get me in the process with all of that, wanting to have a gotcha of some kind. So part of this honoring has to be that we respect and that we recognize the gifts and talents that each of us bring to this. Number three, submit to authority. Everybody has authority. Every one of us has some authority in some area. Listen, I am not the end-all with every piece of knowledge around here. We got some great teachers around here that I go to, some great teachers that I bounce things off of with that, because I know I'm not the ultimate authority on anything that takes place. I know what I'm good at. I know what God has called me to do with things, and I do the very best I can within that, but I tell you what, there's other people that know a whole lot more. And listen, we want to get out here and do a construction project or do this and that and the other. There's people I know that have authority in that area, have the authority in the woodworking and stuff, you know, different talents and abilities that they have. And I lean on that, and I love that, and I want them to do their best, and I want them to be about it. And whatever that gift or whatever that talent is, you see, we all have an authority of some kind, and so we need to submit to the authorities in it rather than be a know-it-all, okay? Nobody really likes a know-it-all, okay? And nobody does know-it-all. And so we have to submit to authority in different areas of our life. And that's a part of honoring. That's a part of respect and trust as well. Another area is that we value each person as a person, which goes back to the core of respect. We value each other as people, okay? Because God reached down and he drug up some dirt and he blew breath in it. And that was in the beginning, but it still takes place time and time again. Every time a new one comes into the earth, it's the same picture that we have, that God blew that breath into that individual. We are all unique and created in God's image, which means that we need to respect each other because we're people. Because we're people, and we're people that God put here. Then the last one that I want to bring up on how to honor is is to give, basically. Okay, honoring, a part of honoring is giving. If you don't, and let me just make this one real simple here. If you don't come to give worship, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get very little. If you come to get something, you're going to get very little. We have to be here to give. We give our worship. We give our time. We give our love. We come to give. And when you come with that attitude and come in that manner, in that way, then you get so much more than when you come looking for something that you can take. Okay? And so honoring each other means coming to give. It's a giving, loving, giving process, this matter of honoring and being kindly affectioned one to another. So, honoring one another does some things for us. It maintains our unity. It'll help us develop deep friendships. It helps us function properly as a body. And then lastly, it's an example to the outsiders. Example to those that see us from the outside in. That's what it says about those first Christians in Antioch. They saw that they had been with God. And they called them Christians first there, little Christ, because they'd been with God. That's the whole thing, you see, is when we're kindly affectioned, when we have this honor and this respect and this trust towards one another, what we're really doing is we're treating that individual as though they have the divine spark in them just like we do. Okay? And that divine spark is something to be nurtured, something to be grown. That's where the seed of love blossoms and flourishes and all of that. So I tell you tonight that we might make it a matter of concerted practice and intentionality to go about the matter of being kindly affectioned to each other, bracketed with that brotherly love, that motherly love bracketed, and honor each other. Don't make people earn respect. Give it to them and see what happens. Trust them and see what happens. And see if they don't live up to a higher mark than anybody would that's being held down in some way. And so that's our third one another here tonight. I've kept you a few minutes late, and I apologize for that. Thoughts, comments, or complaints as we wrap up.